technically, I would call it the Washington, D.C. day, or 2 days, and happy to be with you on a Wednesday morning here on KCMO Talk Radio. We are coming to you from a rooftop, 8th floor rooftop in Washington, D.C., for the 14th annual Hold Their Feet to the Fire Radio Row event put on by FAIR, the Federation for American Immigration Reform. We've got a couple of great shows lined up here for you this morning. A lot of big guests going to be rolling through on KCMO Talk Radio. Just to give you a little scene setter here, we've got about, I'd say 25 to 30 booths here of radio stations from around the country in Washington, D.C. We are, as I noted, on a rooftop, which is really fascinating, looking out at the Capitol. They've got a great spread, by the way, that I know John Anthony would be all over right now if he was here. So he would just absolutely love that and would be having a field day in the breakfast buffet. I can see his name all over the bagels right now. But either way, it is great to be here with you as we kick off another day and another week. So we're here today and tomorrow, and it is going to be a couple of guest heavy shows as well. Doesn't mean we can't take your calls at 5767710. We will. We'll be weaving in news of the day, of course, locally and nationally, with what we are doing here and what the purpose of our visit is to Washington, D.C. And our first guest, by the way, is going to be Roger Marshall, Kansas U.S. Senator, who will be here bottom of this hour. So looking forward to a very good couple of shows, very good couple of days here on KCMO Talk Radio. I want to start off with a story that we probably have not spent enough time on over the last, I'd say, week to 10 days, and that is the continued fallout from Afghanistan. I mean, when you talk about the fact that we don't even know what the number is, right? But we still probably have hundreds of Americans who are stuck in Afghanistan, right? People who are trying to get back to this country, who we don't talk enough about, still attempting to get back to this country in some way, shape, or form, right? And, you know, with everything going on with our news cycle locally and the administration doing a great job trying to move on from that news cycle by doing things like trying to force private employers to have things like vaccine mandates, it has admittedly fallen by the wayside. Well, it didn't yesterday. It didn't. Because the news that came out of yesterday in testimony before Congress that General Frank McKenzie, who oversaw the withdrawal of Afghanistan as the head of the U.S. Central Command, and Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, they had both said yesterday in testimony before Congress that they advised him to leave 2,500 troops in the country. They both made that very clear yesterday. You just heard it in the top of the hour Fox News broadcast. So I'm thinking about this, and I'm saying, okay, well, let me think back to, geez, I guess that was mid-August, when the president sat down for a conversation with none other than George Stephanopoulos. And remember what he said in that interview regarding the plans to withdraw and whether or not he was given different advice from, you know, the generals and the people in charge. Here's that audio clip.
Your top military advisors warned against withdrawing on this timeline. They wanted you to keep about 2,500 troops.
No, they didn't. It was split. That wasn't true. That wasn't true.
They didn't tell you that they wanted troops to stay?
No, not in terms of whether we were going to get out in a time frame all troops. They didn't argue against that.
So no one told your military advisors did not tell you, no, we should just keep 2,500 troops. It's been a stable situation for the last several years. We can do that. We can continue to do that.
No, no one said that to me that I can recall.
Now, here's the amazing part. He might be telling the truth in that moment. I can't recall it. Seriously, I mean, when he says I can't recall something, if you were to ask the guy around lunchtime if he recalls what he ate for breakfast and he said no, I mean, I'd believe it. I'd have no reason to doubt that, right? So in a weird way, it kind of works for the guy when you think about what he said in that clip. Now, in all seriousness, though, you have the U.S. Central Command general and you've got the chairman for the Joint Chiefs of Staff who both said in testimony before Congress that they basically said, don't do this. All right. So who is it split between? That's what I want to know. Who was it split between? Because it's not clear to me who of credibility, and I'm not saying guys like Mark Milley have a lot of credibility, but, you know, they've got some in this situation, how they are in a situation where you are doing this, you are overseeing a disastrous withdrawal that results in 13 U.S. service members getting killed. And by the way, nobody has paid the price for this with their job. I mean, they're just, they are just whistling past the graveyard, literally whistling past the graveyard in the case of some of these, you know, buffoons. Now, here is what Senator Hawley said. Josh Hawley right here in Missouri. Here is what he said yesterday. He was part of this testimony, and he gave it. He gave it to these generals, and he gave it to these leaders in the administration who oversaw this, who are just hoping that everything is going to be swept under the rug and everyone will forget about this sooner than later.
I just want to say this. It seems to me that you put a high priority on making sure that you were favorably portrayed by the D.C. press corps. You spent a lot of time doing that. Fair enough if that's your priority. But at the same time, we had a rapidly deteriorating, frankly, disastrous situation in Afghanistan, which resulted in the death of 13 soldiers, including one from my home state. Hundreds of civilians and hundreds of Americans left behind. And in my view, that mission can't be called a success in any way, shape, or form, logistical or otherwise. General, I think you should resign. Secretary Austin, I think you should resign. I think this mission was a catastrophe. I think there's no other way to say it, and there has to be accountability. I respectfully submit it should begin with you.
There you go, Missouri Senator, and we'll give him a round of applause here from Radio Row in Washington, D.C. How about that? Senator Josh Hawley, thank you very much there, Mark and John. Senator Josh Hawley bringing the heat yesterday during this sworn testimony. And, like, even if you're someone who obviously voted for this administration, you cannot in any way defend the disastrous withdrawal. I don't think if you got Jill behind closed doors off the record, she would defend how this went down, right? And the fact that nobody has paid for this with their job. Nobody. I mean, whether it's Milley, McKenzie, Lloyd Austin, none of them had paid for this with their job. It's truly stunning to me, the incompetency that took place on the world stage. And we're sitting here several weeks after the fact, and they're answering these questions, and they're saying to themselves, well, you know, I mean, it wasn't me. It was that guy. It wasn't my fault. I recommended this. I did that. Well, guess what? You are ultimately in charge. You are in charge. And yes, it's the president's decision. He's the last guy to make the call. But my goodness, we still lost 13 U.S. service members. We've got hundreds of Americans stranded. And the answer here is to go before Congress and say, yeah, darn shame. Really is. It's really too bad that happened. But don't worry, we're still working on it. We're still trying our best to, you know, get things all squared up and figured out and whatnot. And hopefully, you know, we're going to continue to work really hard and yeah, things will go better from here. I mean, they answer it like a Tom Brady press conference is what they do. They give you some cliches. They hope that things get better, and that's it. But we're not going to forget this, all right? I'm kind of amazed the news cycle has moved on as quickly as it has moved on, but that's the world we live in 2021. But it's just a darn shame. It's real darn shame because that should have been, that moment should have been, and I think it was the start of it, but it really should have been the moment that sunk this entire first term. And it wasn't because there were kid gloves being used, and we understand that the kid gloves are always going to be out there depending on who's in charge. But it really should have sunk things for this term of this presidency, and it hasn't. And I'm glad that senators like Josh Hawley are continuing to bring this up and continuing to call it out for what it is and go from there. 5767710. The text line is 816-576-7710. It's good to be with you here on a, Wednesday morning on KCMO Talk Radio. We are live from Washington, D.C. Oh, I'm waiting anxiously, and I think I'm going to have to wait a while, but I am waiting anxiously for the Kansas City Star to tell us what a great job, what a successful job our friends at the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department are doing. Oh, my goodness. I can't wait to see that. Oh, you don't think that's coming out? You don't think that that's going to end up happening here? Oh, me neither. I don't either. I don't. But it should. It should. I mean, kudos to Fox 4, by the way, for writing this piece here locally. And you heard John mention it in his news at the top of the hour, that yes, there are still too many homicides happening in Kansas City, Missouri. But remember, we are coming off a record-setting year of 176. Record-setting year in Kansas City, Missouri. Talking about homicides. And despite the fact that there is attrition in the police department, they are below 1,200 for the first time in, 25 years. Still, these numbers are steadily coming down. And not only are they coming down, but they are not coming down in other parts of the country. Kansas City's homicide rate has dropped 24% over the past year, a trend that is not happening in other cities, according to the police. At this point in 2020, there had already been 147 homicides, 35 more than what the department is investigating in 2021. Now, Justin Cobalt with the Kansas City Police Department told Fox 4, so far this year across the country, homicides are up another 12%, above the 30% increase of last year. Here in Kansas City, we're down almost 25% this year compared to last year. Well, how about that? How about that? Now, the number of homicides, by the way, not the only crimes that are declining in Kansas City. The number of people injured in shootings this year has also declined. Those numbers, officers have responded to 387 shootings where the victim was injured but expected to survive. That's compared to 485 people injured in shootings during the first 9 months of 2020, a difference of what? 98 people. So they've credited this with things like working with their federal partners, with the city, with social services providers that have made a difference. But, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking to myself, boy, for the crowd that likes to blame the police department, whether it's in Kansas City or anywhere else for that matter, for increasing crime, they sure don't like to give any credit, apparently, when things start trending in the opposite direction. Now, I've always felt that the issues of crime and homicides in particular cannot necessarily be blamed or credited to police departments. I mean, police departments respond, right, to crimes. That is what they do. And yes, there's community policing, and yes, that's important, and we talk about those things, obviously, on a daily, if not weekly, basis here on KCMO Talk Radio. But given the last year and a half or so of rhetoric coming out of local media and local politicians and local community leaders, I'm just wondering where those folks are right now. I'm wondering why they seem very silent when they were so quick to pull the trigger, no pun intended, on police officers, John. Now we sit here and we say, where are these folks? They're nowhere to be found, huh?
I wonder if they're working on a story to somehow correlate this with success of Gene Peters Baker somehow.
Oh, I see what you do. Oh, so now Gene Peters Baker is going to be getting some love, possibly, from the Star and elsewhere
we
in town.
Sifting through numbers to see if we can make that possible. Yeah.
If we can make her look good, that is a very good
possible.
Point.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think that's a great angle here, John, that could be one that's being taken here fairly soon by some of our media friends in town. I think that's an excellent point. Where they say, yeah, look at Jean, she's putting away the criminals, and that's why crime is down. No thanks to the police department, though, of course, right?
Yeah.
Can't give them any credit. No way. No, we can't do that. But, you know, this is something worth noting, and we'll talk to Mayor Lucas about it tomorrow. Even though we are in Washington, D.C., we still have every intentions of having the mayor on tomorrow and asking him about this and saying, okay, well, what is going on? What is being done well? I did see the mayor was in... I think he was he here? He was, I think, in Baltimore recently. I saw him tweeting out some photos. He did a ride-along with the Baltimore PD, and he was talking about how, you know, some of the things that they're doing with the Baltimore Police Department that are, you know, working to reduce crime. And he was kind of going, rah-rah, Baltimore PD. Well, I'd love to see a tweet here in the wake of this Fox 4 article saying, rah-rah, KCPD. I'd love to see that. I think the timing would be appropriate. I think that, you know, rank and file could use the support right now as they are dealing, of course, with a decrease in numbers across the board for the police department. We talked to Rick Smith about that earlier this week, And, of course, by the way, what came out of that interview? Dave Helling of the Kansas City Star, and we talked about this yesterday, Dave Helling of the Kansas City Star basically trying to dump on Rick Smith, which is nothing new. That's what they do. That's what they're in the business of. That's how their bread is buttered. You know, they get bonuses. It's in their structure. It's in their contract. Every time you rip Rick Smith, you rip KCPD, you know, they get some extra money in the bank account, John. That's how it works.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you. You know, if you go on TV and trash them, then, you know, it's a real nice bonus. If it's just in the paper or on social media, it's a decent bonus. I mean, that's what they're in the business of. That's what they do. And they've been doing it for far too long. And they do it, you know, with very little facts to back it up. But that's nothing new. That's nothing new for that operation. So we are here in Washington, D.C. at the 14th annual Hold Their Feet to the Fire Radio Row events. And we are going to have a busy day of guests here coming up this morning and tomorrow morning as well. And we are going to kick it off here coming up, by the way, on the guest front with none other than one of our own U.S. senators, Roger Marshall. He is in town, of course, and he's going to be stopping by the booth here in just a couple of minutes. So we'll be joined by Roger Marshall. We will have Jason Smith, Missouri Congressman, just after 7 o'clock. It's all kicked off on a busy morning next right here on KCMO Talk Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM. And, of course, the KCMO Talk Radio app or your Alexa and Google Home device.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
We are rolling through a Wednesday show here from right off Capitol Hill. I can see the Capitol in the distance here. I put some photos up on my social media pages. I just put it up on Facebook here within the last hour or so. Just a shot of the Capitol from our Radio Row setup for the 14th annual Hold Their Feet to the Fire Radio Row event put on by FAIR, Federation for American Immigration Reform. We are going to talk to Chris Kobach coming up here at top of the hour on KCMO Talk Radio. Of course, a familiar face and voice to many of us in the Kansas City metro. And yeah, just threw those photos up. I put it up on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, so you can find it in all those places. I'll have a lot more content on social media after we wrap up the show here at 10 o'clock Central Time, paying a visit to Senator Marshall's office and then also Senator Hawley's office. So looking forward to a good day visiting with some of our congressional members here across the Kansas City area. I want to play a clip for you. Now, you're probably going to wonder, why is Pete about to play a clip from the Virginia governor's race? Well, because that race right now is kind of a bellwether to see where the country is at. We know that Virginia was a purple state that has primarily gone blue now, right? But they've got this governor's race coming up between Terry McAuliffe and Glenn Youngkin. And Youngkin's the Republican, and he said last night in this debate that, hey, parents should be in charge of what is happening in their children's classrooms. And I bring this up after the story we've been talking about the last couple of days here in Kansas City, where that book, All Boys Aren't Blue, has surfaced in seventh grade classrooms. By the way, the amount of you, and it's incredibly explicit in nature, it's a book, it's a memoir written by a guy talking about basically his gay sex life. It's wholly inappropriate for, I think, anybody K through 12. If you want to read it as an adult, be my guest, all right? I'm not trying to get the guy's book canceled. He can make all the money he wants off his, you know, 50 Shades of Grey gay twist. He can do all of that. Be my guest. Become a multimillionaire off it. People can call you a modern-day Shakespeare for all I care. But having it in the classroom is not appropriate. Never mind for seventh graders. I mean, it's wholly inappropriate. So we've been talking a lot about that the last couple of days, and the amount of you who have reached out to me and have emailed administrators in Olathe, I am so glad you're doing that. Get involved. Understand what is happening in your kids' classrooms. All right? So that leads me into this clip from last night's Virginia's governor's race, Virginia governor debate, where you clearly hear Glenn Youngkin, the Republican, say, hey, I want parents to be in charge of what's happening in the classroom. And listen to what the Democrat Terry McAuliffe says. This is going to be very telling in terms of where these two parties head How much power do you want to give to teachers' unions after the way the past 18 months have played out? And who should be in charge of what is happening in your children's classrooms? Let's play that clip.
What we've seen over the course of the last 20 months is our school systems refusing to engage with parents. In fact, in Fairfax County this past week, we watched parents so upset because there was such sexually explicit material in the library they had never seen. It was shocking. And in fact, you vetoed the bill that would have informed parents that they were there. You believe school systems should tell children what to do. I believe parents should be in charge of their kids' education.
Mr. McCullough, 30 seconds.
So first of all, this shows how clueless Glenn Youngkin is. He doesn't understand what the laws were because he's never been involved here in helping Virginia. But it was not. The parents had to write to veto bills, veto books, Glenn, not to be knowledge about it, also take them off the shelves. And I'm not going to let parents come into schools and actually take books out and make their own decision.
You vetoed it.
So, yeah, I stopped the bill that I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach.
I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach. That is a line that came out from the guy who is running for governor of Virginia as the Democrat. Every Democratic politician running for especially a statewide seat like that, like Laura Kelly should be asked in Kansas next year, do you think parents should be allowed to tell schools what they should teach? Or do you think that we should just have unelected bureaucrats deciding what gets taught? I would love to hear that answer from Governor Laura Kelly next year. I would love to hear it. And I'd be very curious to hear her answer because she would have to tiptoe around it because her bread and butter is in the teachers' unions. That's the reality. This is an issue that's not just prevalent to us here in Kansas City, but it is an issue that is happening in elections all over this country. So stay strong and focus on what is happening with those kids in those schools. Coming up next, someone you all know very well, Chris Kobach, joins us on KCMO. All right, we are approaching 9 o'clock, KCMO Talk Radio. We are in Washington, D.C. today and tomorrow for the 14th annual Hold Their Feet to the Fire Radio Row events. And I know it's Wednesday, so it's still time, even though we're not there, or I'm not there, it's still time for our What If Wednesday. Let's get to it on KCMO.
KCMO 710 AM and 103.7 FM.
It's time for What If Wednesday
on Mundo in the Morning.
What if instead of having you on this radio station, there was somebody else?
All right, been there, done that. John Anthony with the three questions of the day. John, good morning. What do we got?
Hey, let's mix it up here a little. Let's go with what if parents focused more on their school boards than watching cable news?
You know, I think about what we had a conversation this morning, and it was a great one at about 7:30. And all our interviews are going to be up on the podcast after the show. Jesse Jane Duff said on this show about, an hour and 15 minutes ago. And she talked about how, you know, she because she worked on the Trump 2020 campaign. She would get and they would get 20, 30, 40,000 people out to these rallies. But she couldn't get anybody to volunteer. For things like poll watching and just, you know, licking envelopes, the basic stuff. And I thought, geez, that is so true. And I think about it in the context of what's going on right now. The issues that we're seeing in school boards around Kansas City, decisions that are being made in school boards around Kansas City, and just thought to myself, boy, and we're all guilty of this at times, right? We're all busy, living busy lives. I get it. We're raising kids. But if we just spend a little more time volunteering or deciding to go to that school board meeting once a month, seeing what's going on, making sure we're focused on these issues, then we may not end up with some, in the case of Olathe, sexually explicit books ending up on shelves in seventh grade classrooms. There's maybe no way to totally prevent it, but we should be trying to do everything in our power to stop that, to slow it down. And yes, it takes time. Yes, it takes effort. And yes, you know, it does mean that we have to sometimes give up sitting on the couch on a Tuesday night after a long day of work and getting the kids down for bed. But it is going to pay off for our children, for their future, for our community's future. And that's what matters the most.
All right, sir. And here we go. Next one. What if local media were equitable in giving the Kansas City Police Department credit for homicides decreasing as they would be in blaming them for an increase?
Then at least they might have some credibility. And what this question that John just posed gets back to is the fact that Fox 4, to their credit, wrote a piece about how homicides are down across Kansas City, or in Kansas City in particular, despite the fact that they are still rising around the country. Now, could you imagine if the Kansas City Star, which has no credibility, but if it had a little bit, they would be giving the police department in Kansas City, Missouri, just as much credit for getting the homicides down significantly year over year, 24% is the exact number. They would be giving them credit for bringing the numbers down, despite the fact that, by the way, what else is happening? You are losing cops every single day. They are down below 1,200 police officers in Kansas City, Missouri. That is at a 25-year low. Still, homicides have come down. Now, I've always thought that, you know, crediting police or blaming police for increasing crime is a fool's errand. I mean, it doesn't always correlate. Cops respond to crime, right? Yes, there's community policing that is done. They respond to crime, but blaming them is always a weird thing to do. But with the way the local media in Kansas City, many of them, blame them for increasing, they should at least give them credit for it coming down, John, and you know that's not happening.
I guess you don't expect to see a What's on Chief Rick Smith's Desk article anytime soon, right?
Give me a rim shot for that. Give John a rim shot. All right. There we go.
All right.
No, I'm not expecting to see a What's on Chief Smith's Desk piece from the Kansas City Star anytime soon, like they did, as the reference goes there, mm-hmm. from John, for Sharice Davids.
Right.
2 years ago now, whenever that was. Oh, boy. I can't wait to learn about the 30-year apple she's been carrying around. That's her good luck charm that was given to her by her her mama, as Elizabeth Warren would call it, right?
Yeah.
Papa and mama, right?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. All right, what's next?
And the final one then. What if the Chiefs lose a third straight game?
I'm going to be worried about you, John. You and Mark. I'm going to be worried about you guys. Oh, boy. Well, I like the odds against the Eagles this week. And I don't know. How are you guys feeling about that game?
I'm optimistic.
You are?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, the Eagles just got steamrolled on Monday night by the Cowboys. So that's got to be a pretty good feel. What about you, Mark? You feeling okay about this one?
Yeah, like I said last week, the Chiefs never beat the spread, so I think it's going to be closer than what I thought last week, but I think the Chiefs will end up coming out on top this week.
All right, so you like them. You guys both like them this week, and as do I. Of course, we'll talk to Danny Welniak on Friday. We'll make our picks as well. They're a 7-point favorite, by the way, the Chiefs are on Sunday. Against the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm with you guys. I feel good about it. But if they do lose a third straight, it's going to be a really bad sign for the year, especially when you're already behind the eight ball because you got the Broncos and the Raiders sitting there at 3-0 right now to start the season. So then you're looking at a wild card. And one of the great things the Chiefs have had going for them that we all know is this home field advantage in the playoffs, hosting three straight AFC championship games. But hopefully not something we need to worry about anytime soon. I'm feeling good about Sunday, and we'll do more of it, of course, with Danny Wolniak. There is your What If Wednesday here on KCMO Talk Radio. And the sun is shining in Washington, D.C. We're on the rooftop of the Fox News building here overlooking the Capitol. Absolutely beautiful event taking place on Radio Row for the 14th annual Hold Their Feet to the Fire event that is being put on by FAIR, which is the Federation for American Immigration Reform. And it has been a really good morning. We're here today. We are also here tomorrow as well. I'll be visiting after the show with some of our local representatives, including Senator Marshall and Senator Hawley. So looking forward to that. I'll be posting some photos and whatnot on my personal social media pages on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. So still a lot more to come after the show wraps up. Be sure to follow me there, and you'll be caught up to speed on who we're visiting with and what we're doing and how these next couple of days are going to be going here in Washington, D.C. Coming up next, we are going to talk with none other than a guy who knows the border as well as any. He has been on top of this thing for a very long time. Art Del Cueto, National Border Patrol Counsel, joins us coming up next on KCMO Talk Radio and, of course, the KCMO Talk Radio app.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville?
Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.